This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Draft has begun with the first pick being a really sweet quarterback out of Clemson. Meanwhile, in India, they could care less about football. It's sadly about funerals and funeral pyres that burn through the night in India. The only way to get rid of the bodies that are piling up faster than workers can cremate them. So that's what's happening there. And COVID-19, it's starting to open up in the U.S., while sadly, like I said, in India and a few other places, it's getting worse as they spiral. So we're going to talk about that and a few other things, too, as well as we kind of skip and jump and dive in a lot of different directions, including what's happening with the vaccine and now this idea that there are companies that are jumping on these passes, like Promo Share, like Excelsior Pass in New York. And what does that mean? And would you partake? And you can only do so, by the way, if you're vaccinated. We're going to jump to that coming up here in another segment. And then also, too, the president's address to the joint chambers for the first time to Congress, where it was sparse. There was 200, not the normal 1,000. I talked about that in the previous show. One of the things that he emphasized was closing gun loopholes. There's been more conversation about guns and gun rights once again, I think a little bit more than ever. In Texas, something is really starting to rumble, where it's, of course, one of our largest states. And now in Texas, it's not about closing loopholes. It's about becoming much more wide open. Texas has more than 1.6 million handgun license holders under a law first passed in 1995, and the state doesn't require a license to carry long guns in public. And eliminating the license for handguns has been a goal of hardcore gun activists, but now it's mostly been ignored. Now there's been a changing of the guard or leadership in the Texas House to press forward. So what does it mean? It really is getting very, very down to the wire. In fact, one of the gun control groups says it's literally a life or death bill that is happening that a lot of people don't know about. And what else is going on in a few other states, as that has always been divisive in talking about guns, but now there's some movement in a couple of different directions that could affect all of us. And this show is about, my friends, the buzz in my backyard and the buzz in your backyard. So once again, Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us. If it's a first time, welcome to the show. You can always flip me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com 24/7, because I know people listen to us live and people listen to us all different times in different parts of the world and different parts of this great country. I want to start with this. I want to start, sadly, with death and mayhem. I mean, I feel like I'm a local news station where you flip on and that's what it is. If it leads, it bleeds. I hate to say it. I was a television news anchor, and that was the horrific saying that we would hear over and over again. And what was meant by that is the most breaking news, the most shocking thing always was the thing that led. But before I came on the air, a couple of different people let me know about something that happened at this Jewish festival. 40 people dead, 65 people injured in a stampede as this stage collapsed on crowds of Orthodox Jews. There were multiple casualties and fatalities that were reported. It was a metal grandstand platform. You know, we've heard of these things happening before, but not that many people, and it was overcrowded. So it was in Marin. It just cratered. and sad to see where you see the body bags. I mean, tens of thousands of Orthodox Jews were gathered at the tomb of a second century sage. And the Times of Israel is saying that many were crushed to death during this disaster, because this is one of their biggest festivals that's been held in Israel since the COVID outbreak began, because they haven't had that. So this was a mass gathering. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described the crush as a heavy disaster. Rescuers rushed to free trapped festival goers because there were some that were gasping for air and were screaming out. About 150 or so have been hospitalized in the early hours of Friday morning, because that's what it is there. 44 people in critical condition. Just such a tragedy. And seeing, you know, it was a tragedy waiting to happen, because you see the metal stands. This is radio, but you folks, man, you see the metal stands, and you can see that it was overwhelmed and it just crashed to the ground. So sadly, there were all these body bags that were just strewn about in the street as they tried to sort out, at this first huge religious gathering since COVID, who's who, and notifying families and investigating some specifics of that fall. Speaking of COVID, this is the thing that people don't often talk about, but it is true. If you look at the statistics from the start of the pandemic, it's pretty clear that some people who were infected with coronavirus were experiencing more severe illness, which increased their chances of being hospitalized, getting into the ICU, and then on the ventilator. We know how that story goes. A weaker immune system, chronic health conditions influenced the way you respond to the virus. The biggest risk factor for developing severe COVID or dying from it, over 70% of the deaths attributed to COVID in the UK are in those 75 and older. But the thing that really came out, and also has not been discussed that much in the United States, a little bit, but is the BMI, is the body mass index, which I think that measurement is, some of it is ridiculous and over the charts silly, like nobody's fallen into the measurement. But a person with a BMI over 25 is considered to be overweight. Over 30 is obese. And the studies of COVID have showed that obesity increased the risks of COVID-related deaths substantially. So people with the highest BMI over 40 were at 92. This is a crazy statistic. 92% higher risk of dying from COVID compared to people with a healthy BMI of 18.5 to 25. But that extreme weight, it's not that so many people fall into that category, but they're still saying that when you're carrying any of that extra weight, it led to many people being much more vulnerable to COVID. Wow. This is why people are talking about losing weight. So they're talking about the COVID-19, saying the 19 pounds that they gained, and they're now feeling like some people that they can get back out there again and exercise a little bit more or go on some sort of a program. Hang with us.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
If they need a vax pass to be able to go to, a music festival to see their favorite band or favorite artist, I think they're going to run to get the vaccine.
All right, that's Ernesto Pedroza, and that's from PromoShare, the vax pass that's allowing the concert goers to go because it's a QR code, and they sign up for it, and they have to prove that they've been vaccinated. The QR code deal is going to be the money maker, I think, for some of these companies. The Excelsior Pass is the other one in New York, and more of them are cropping up all over the place. How do you feel about the Vax Pass? Do you think it's a good thing, or do you think it's taken away freedoms, etc.? There are many people that say smash to the Vax Pass, and then there are others that say screw it. If everybody's vaccinated, I feel safe. I'll go to the concert and be shoulder to shoulder and swinging around and feeling like I'm comfortable. And here's the thing. Music events especially, there's opportunities, right? Music. We used to just be able to go to all these different kinds of concerts. I talked about this the other night. So if some people might choose to get vaccinated just to get access to that. The other thing is that some of these city passes, they're going to give, so there's going to be an edge here. They're going to give people discounts, free admission to museums, let them skip lines to city attractions. I mean, vax and relax is kind of the concept in Chicago. And the same with the Excelsior Pass. The Excelsior Pass is, New York became the first state to offer digital proof of vaccinations with it. A smartphone app that allows fully vaccinated residents to show a QR code to businesses as proof of their vaccination status. The governors of a number of states have come out against digital proof vaccination. Florida and Texas governors, of course, going so far as to issue executive orders against them. And there are lots of people, and you might be one of them listening to this show, who are up in arms about the Vax Pass. Here's the thing, and where I stand on this. We live in a country where you have freedom of choice. I mean, so brothers and sisters, don't bang on the heads of the people that are going to make money in a capitalist society by having a QR code and giving away swag that people just can't get enough of and opening up their venue to music, etc., because they're scared to death to get sued. They're afraid that if it becomes a super spreading event, yeah, remember those? You are SOL. I mean, especially all of these joints that have been closed down and haven't been able to open up because of COVID-19, where people lost jobs, where musicians couldn't get work, of course, because they weren't able to play in the spots that they played before. So vax pass or not, and would it tempt you? I mean, it is, you know, they're definitely out there feeding it to get more people vaccinated. But it's also, from the venue point of view, it's also a way for them to feel like there's no 100% in this thing. There's so much we don't know about this elusive virus and its variants. But there is somehow that shield of, well, we have a layer. We're covered because everybody in here was vaccinated. Everybody in this place was vaccinated, right? If you want to flip me a call on this, you can, by the way, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, or, as I mentioned at the top, 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. So Chicago and New York, they're starting to see that. Chicago, by the way, is also rolling out a vax pass, that's what they're calling it, next month. Vaccinated Chicagoans can use it to attend those concerts and to go to many other things as well. One of the things that the public health commissioner has said and is stressing is the pass is not a vaccine passport. It's not an app that businesses check before somebody can enter. Instead, it's similar to city passes that give residents those discounts that I mentioned, and that was the deal. So some people might choose to get vaccinated to get access to it, and because there's going to be music events that are only open to vaccinated people. And then others will choose not to and are anti-vax pass because it's too much Big Brother. It's too much intervention. It's too much information that somebody would have on you. And I get that too, right? To each his own. How far will the passport or the vax pass or the Excelsior or the promo share, I mean, how far will that go? Nobody knows. Wasn't it Gordon Gekko that said greed is good? So you mix in COVID and the wants and wishes of people and you stir that up in the same pot, and what do you get? You're going to get more people that, I think you're going to get more people that would get vaccinated for that reason. I'm not saying an incredible number. It's just not going to blow out every possibility of being vaccinated, because every possible way, every road to get vaccinated is dried up because there's so much vaccine out there. But the temptation, I think, will be super, super great. I mean, some people are on a wild rocket ride with COVID because their businesses have exploded. Others have burned and crashed, and we know that. And you have kids that weren't in school. You have kids that have been affected. Listen, I came back from that trip to Florida where I saw my nephew who's going to South Florida, and it was so isolating. I went on the campus, and the campus, there were some like signs of life, but not a lot, because there were certain protocols they had to observe. They weren't in classrooms. He had one class where he was in a classroom, and they had a social distance. Everything else was like computer, was Zoom. Could have done that anywhere. So you're not making those connections. He's a freshman. Where you would normally be in a class, you would be at the cafeteria, you would be in many, many other places, clubs, etc., all shut down other than Zooms, and you're not making those connections. And I think for kids, it's really, really tough. In fact, I was surprised that one of the things that Biden didn't address, and I think it was a miss, was what about these kids? You can talk about education, but what about the kids who are stopped from going to school because the schools aren't open, or they have this half-in, half-out schooling that's going on, And it really has dented their educations and the socialization that many of them had. You know, it's so important. That's why that is so, so important, especially for younger people. And I think that's part of the whole thing of the concerts is younger people going to some of these younger groups, these fresh groups that are coming out, and where they would normally be on a festival tour somewhere, and that hadn't happened for over a year, and how desperate people are to get back out there again. You know, and speaking of wild rides, it's no surprise because, I mean, will this ever crash? I don't think so. Amazon sales surged 44%. So they, once again, crush earnings expectations. They announced first quarter results and just killed all the analysts' expectations. They confirmed that Prime Day is going to take place in June, which will likely help year-over-year comparisons for revenue in the second quarter. It's crazy how they fared. I mean, few companies have benefited from the pandemic more than Amazon. Because here's what happens. Half the time when you were trying to order something and you had to get it delivered, you couldn't get it as fast as you could get it on Amazon or cheaper. You could find anything. We found something that went in the, that was a part that we needed if for something in the bathroom. I mean, and we try to order it through companies. So trying to stay away from getting Amazon, but Amazon is it. It's living, breathing, and just crushing all records. I mean, just crushing it. You know, even the CFO said, in many areas, July is vacation month, so it might be better for customers, sellers, and vendors to experiment with a different time period. We believe it might be better timing later in the second quarter, so that's what we're testing this year, because they have an annual two-day discount bonanza, basically, that takes place. But they postponed that event to October last year amid the pandemic uncertainty. But boy, they never had uncertainty. Oh, never. Prime Video has been key for Amazon. It turns 10 years old, Prime Video. 175 million Prime members streaming shows and movies in the past year. Streaming hours are up, apparently, more than 70% year over year. Because we are stuck in the house watching like zombies show after show after show. Talking about guns next.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Marking his 100th day in office, President Biden held a drive-in rally in Georgia. He thanked Democrats for their vote, saying the balance in the Senate made the difference in getting his stimulus plans passed.
Because of you, the rest of the world, because of your two senators, the rest of America was able to get the help they got so far.
He also said he's following through with his campaign promises.
I created, in the first 100 days, 1,300,000 new jobs. 1,300,000 jobs in 100 days. That's more new jobs in the first 100 days of any president in history.
Last night, during his address to a joint session of Congress, the president outlined his American Families Plan. The price tag is nearly $2 trillion, and Republicans say that amount is way too high. This is USA Radio News. Two officers in North Carolina were killed during a welfare check. USA's Lance Pry has the story.
Two deputies in North Carolina have died from their injuries suffered during a 13-hour-long standoff at a home near Boone, North Carolina, in Watauga County. That's about 86 miles west of Winston-Salem. What turned out to be a welfare check turned into an ambush. Three civilians, including the suspect shooter, also died, bringing the death toll to five people. North Carolina Representative Ray Pickett at the North Carolina Assembly says the suspect was the son of the two murdered at the home.
I received some terrible news from Watauga County today. Got a situation. At first we thought it was a teenager, but through further reports, he was an older gentleman. He killed his mother and father today. Sheriff deputies responded to a welfare check. He ambushed them.
Sergeant Chris Ward died at the hospital. K-9 Deputy Logan Fox died at the scene. The investigation continues. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hanging with us. How is it shaking in your neck of the woods? A lot of conversation about guns lately, especially with, sadly, some of these mass shootings that have occurred, too many since the beginning of the year. One of the things that the president talked about in his address to both chambers was guns and working together to close up some loopholes. He specifically talked about ghost guns and a few other things. In fact, here's a snippet from what he had to say.
Gun violence has become an epidemic in America. The flag at the White House was still flying at half mast for the 8 victims of the mass shooting in Georgia when 10 more lives were taken in the mass shooting in Colorado. And in the week in between those two events, 250 other Americans were shot dead in the streets of America. 250 shot dead. I know how hard it is to make progress on this issue. In the 90s, we passed universal background checks, a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines that hold 100 rounds that can be fired off in seconds. We beat the NRA. Mass shootings and gun violence declined. Check out the report over 10 years. But in the early 2000s, the law expired. We've seen daily bloodshed since. I'm not saying if the law continued, we wouldn't see bloodshed. More than 2 weeks ago in the Rose Garden, surrounded by some of the bravest people I know, the survivors and families who lost loved ones to gun violence, I laid out several of the Department of Justice actions that are being taken to impact on this epidemic. One of them is banning so-called ghost guns. These are homemade guns built from a kit that includes directions on how to finish the firearm. The parts have no serial numbers, so they show up at crime scenes and they can't be traced. The buyers of these ghost gun kits aren't required to pass any background check. Anyone, from a criminal or terrorist, could buy this kit and within 30 minutes have a weapon that's lethal, but no more. And I'll do everything in my power to protect the American people from this epidemic of gun violence, but it's time for Congress to act as well. Look. I don't want to become confrontational, but we need more Senate Republicans to join the overwhelming majority of Democratic colleagues and close the loopholes required in background check purchases of guns. We need a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And don't tell me it can't be done. We did it before and it worked. Talk to most responsible gun owners and hunters. They'll tell you there's no possible justification for having 100 rounds in a weapon.
All right, so guns, it again is always one of those polarizing issues in these United States. Second Amendment, I'm pro Second Amendment, but I'll tell you what's happening in Texas is scary from the perspective of this is what is now being said in one of our biggest states. And Texas would join about 20 states that allow some form of unlicensed handgun carry, but it would be the biggest in terms of population. You know, Tennessee this year dropped its handgun license requirement and several others are considering it. It's definitely in the air there. The change would allow people 21 or over to carry handguns. People with violent crime convictions or some other legal prohibition would be barred from carrying them, but there would be no way to weed them out without early background checks. That's the problem. So some nut, crazy idiot that wants to go after an ex-wife, girlfriend, neighbor they're furious with, or whatever, or they're just, something's not right, that would be the problem right there, that little piece. Again, I'm absolutely for people having the right to carry guns. But imagine that you've got this violent people that just can go get guns and there's no way to weed them out without a background check on that. So even the cops I know, law enforcement groups, are warning that eliminating the license requirement in Texas would make the streets more dangerous, figuring out they would have to do this, figuring out who can legally carry and who can't shouldn't be left up to a cop. And that's what they're saying. They fear for the people and law enforcement. We're already seeing what's happening. More guns that could cause more injury or death. So hear me what I'm saying. I'm not saying anti-gun at all. I'm not saying I have lots of friends that carry handguns. They're registered. They use them. They know how to clean them. They keep them safe. They keep them away from kids. And somebody was near me and they had the gun, I know they'd be gone. Somebody came after a group I was with, but I feel confident in their skills and in the way they treat guns and the fact that they went through what you have to go through, the whole permit to carry. So there are Democrats that are supporting this bill in Texas. There are others frustrated the state isn't strengthening gun restrictions because of the mass shootings in the last couple of years. Remember what happened in El Paso. But it seems like we have so many of these, you just keep moving on. So that's why you have this reaction, and this is what's happening now. Now, you know, they don't want to seem soft on gun issues, which I think you're not soft in this one particular area, but trying to prove that because of how it would be played up would be a whole different thing. And, you know, here is what one Here is what one state senator said. We simply cannot allow this opportunity to pass us by. This issue is far too important. We cannot allow another session to come and go where we pay lip service to the Second Amendment while failing to fully restore the God-given rights to our citizens. So I think it passes. I do. I think it passes. And this permitless carry bill was up several years ago. But now with a new speaker in Texas, the issue sailed through the chamber this month. I think this happens. And to me, I worry about the cops. I worry about them trying to figure out, as they're saying, oh, this could be just disastrous for us. But you put it in the bucket of, and what there seems to be a hard time of people trying to figure out, is you get blanketed as one or the other. Well, you must be anti-gun or pro-gun. Meaning, can't you be pro-gun, so to speak, or pro-Second Amendment and say, well, let's not just do something asinine that risks our cops, people we care about, people that are out there that are already shrouded in people that are not confident in what's happening in police forces, and now having to have them figure out what the situation is with the guns, with the permitless guns being out there, and why you can't go through a background check. I just don't see how that's a big deal. I mean, my goodness, we can use QR codes to get into festivals, but we can't figure out a way to do quick, easy, and thorough background checks. Doesn't make any sense to me. We are the brightest, badassiest nation on the planet, and we have brilliant people, and we can't get this right. We can't figure this out. So it's not a big deal. You're not jumping through 20 hoops. Come on. It's ridiculous. There has to be a way to do that. But I think what will happen is it'll pass, and then the permitless thing will go. And then there'll be something, we know it, and I hope not, but there'll be something horrific that happens, and everyone will point to that. And then here you go again with the ammunition, so to speak, for people who are all about gun control, looking at that and saying, see? Yeah, not the look we want. And yes, there are so many things, and that's why I agree with the Second Amendment. Because if somebody, we know that argument, and I agree with that. If somebody wants to do violence, there are other ways to do violence. But it just makes it so much easier when there's no check of anything. Especially when it comes to the crimes of passion. Especially when it comes down to domestic abuse, domestic violence. There, that becomes really tricky and very, very scary to me. Incredibly scary. I feel like I want to end on a high note because on my bad guy list, there is this woman, Ghislaine Maxwell. And you know who she is. She was Jeffrey Epstein's wing woman for getting those young girls in these positions where he just did whatever he wanted with them and got away with it. There was a picture that's now been revealed in court papers where she's standing trial for accusations she helped traffic and groom young girls for sexual abuse by the deceased multimillionaire Epstein. And in the photo, she's got a black eye. I mean, you can clearly see it. Her lawyers are arguing she's being deprived of sleep while incarcerated due to wellness checks by correction officers. Oh, life is rough, isn't it, Ghislaine? Stay with us.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
In the wings, as they like to say, in the theater business, George Kazakoff is. He's going to join us in a moment. He's written a book called Dangerous Theater, the Federal Theater Project as a Forum for New Plays. And boy, he had quite a career, including an off-Broadway play with Estelle Getty. Remember her from Golden Girls and so many others, called Never Too Old. George, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
So tell me the road to the book. Why did you write this book?
I wrote it because I had heard a lot about the Federal Theater Project, and I thought that they were doing good things, so I wanted to know more about it, and I started to research it, and then I wanted to share it.
And the Federal Theater Project, for people listening, which is really cool because we're taking you back to the 30s, they were trying to foster the writing and producing of new plays during the 30s, right, 35 to 39?
Yes, that's right.
And was that because it was so difficult, right, to get funding and get notice?
Well, the thing is, it was set up, basically, originally it was set up to put unemployed actors back to work. That was the original priority. But then later on, they started hiring directors and designers and writers. But the original purpose of it was to put unemployed actors back to work.
Yeah, and you got to think about that. You think of, you know, the kinds of plays they wrote, how it related to the Depression era, and how they were received by American audiences. Were they received pretty well from what you found in your research?
Generally, yes. They established a very enormous, big audience, and of course, it had to play to various factions of the reviewer public. There were factional differences, but the thing is that they managed to gain the respect of most people.
Yeah. For you, was this important because this is your business? I mean, listen, you're a playwright, an actor, a director, a filmmaker, an adjunct associate professor at the City University of New York. You've taught writing and playwriting at New York University. You have a long history of theater, films, and being in the business. So was that part of your quest to let people know, hey, this happened?
Oh, yes. That was the quest, yes.
For you, knowing that information and then looking at your career had to be really, really interesting. Take us back to when you first started. What was the first, when you wrote your first play, what was that like?
I was 10 years old. I started at this little theater in my backyard, and I invited all the neighborhood to come and see the little playlist that I wrote.
And it worked? Were the kids enthralled?
Yes, they had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. And I mentioned the Estelle Getty project that was yours, the off-Broadway Never Too Old. What was it like to work with Estelle Getty in that cast?
Oh, she was a professional. She was really very, very fun to work with.
Yeah, you can see that she had chops, certainly, in the television show that she was involved with. What do you hope people take away from, you know, because now we have, I think there is this nostalgia thing in all of us, especially after the pandemic and going through the pandemic, to look at history, and this is history of drama. This is history of something important in a project. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I hope that they take away from my book the fact that it's a very, very first effort to have the government subsidize such a massive operation. It was a very, very big, massive operation, and it produced a lot of plays and had developed an enormous new audience. In fact, it was 500,000 spectators, and 65% of them were seeing theater for the first time.
Wow. Can you imagine? I mean, now it's, I think of that and I get goosebumps because I think of people that go to New York and especially, but other places as well and haven't seen the theater and how now we've had a shutdown of that. Are you optimistic for the future of theater and plays and whatnot?
Well, I'm always optimistic. I think that there will always be an audience for it. The fact is that the FTP built a vast new audience, and they were very enthusiastic about it. The fact is, everybody could afford it because the tickets were only 25 and 50 cents.
Wow. That puts it in perspective, 25 and 50 cents. George, I can remember being in Times Square and waiting for halfers because tickets were $125 a piece.
Oh, yes, that's right. If anything is taken away from this procedure, it's that the tickets were very, very low, and everybody could afford it.
Yeah, and that's why so many people were able to go and see it and then pass it on to their children, which then grew, I think, the footprint of the theater. So it's so interesting that you delved into this. Dangerous Theater, the Federal Theater Project as a forum for new plays. You can get it on Amazon.com, of course. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
It's interesting in talking about Broadway, Mayor Bill de Blasio says we're going to open New York fully, starting in New York City July 1st, with Broadway shows probably reopening in September because it's been closed down. Boom, nothing, of course, shut down. Nobody was going to go see any performances, and they weren't allowed to. So they confirmed that it is looking pretty good, certainly by 2022, but that in the fall they'll be open. Broadway will be open again because you can just imagine what a bath they took during pandemic. And then all those actors and all the people that work behind the scenes employing a lot of people from the lights, the sets, the crews, the understudies, the people who are ushers, who subsidize kids' colleges or just their family, health care, etc., that all shut down, closed, boom, done. and now coming back in the fall would be welcome, I think, for so many people who, A, want to go there and support it, but also for the people whose livelihoods depend on it. So a couple of quick hits at the tail end of this show. The big news with the NFL is Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick. He goes to Jacksonville, not a shocker, because of his crazy mad great skills as the quarterback for Clemson. So that was expected. It did happen. There were some other things that happened, I think, that weren't quite as expected. Ann Douglas, the widow of late actor Kirk Douglas, died at 102 years old, the legendary actor. She was an American producer and very, very active behind the scenes. Rudy Giuliani, after having his office and his house dumped over by the FBI, now his lawyer is talking more about the FBI raid on those offices and the apartment as unjustified and saying there was no wrongdoing here. Giuliani himself was on Fox News and said FBI agents seized about 8 personal electronic devices along with 2 other devices belonging to a separate person that the mayor didn't identify. He said that 7 agents arrived at his apartment at 6 a.m., making their presence known by slamming on the door. And the warrant indicated agents were investigating an allegation that he had failed to register as a foreign agent in representing Ukrainian interests in the U.S., asserting that he never worked in such a capacity. So there you go. And, of course, federal investigators have been examining Giuliani since at least early 2019, related to his business dealings in the Ukraine, including with Ukrainian-born Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman of Belarus, who were indicted in the fall of 2019 on campaign charges, campaign finance charges. So that kind of stems from, I think, kind of stems from that. The other thing that is going on is in North Carolina, a gunman killed 2 deputies and a married couple. Very sad. There was a 13-hour standoff, and they are certainly mourning the loss of those officers who were very, very young in Boone, North Carolina. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.